Praise the Lord. It's a great experience to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. The first Sunday of the year. And I'm honored to be here and share the word with you. And I'm nervous too, because it's the first Sunday, and it's the first time I'm going to preach in English. And definitely I will need God's help, and you too. And, well, thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Joe, for this opportunity. And I don't know why for the last few days, thinking in this moment, my mind brings me back to 1987. I'm the oldest, probably. 1987, November, one of the Wednesdays in at seminar. That was the first time I was calling to preach as a test. And I'm a pastor's son. And at that time, I thought I have a lot of things to say. And I started writing all my sermon. And I remember it was like 6-7 pages. But this is the great thing. The test was just for 7 minutes, the sermon, because that Wednesday, 3 or 4 different students will be preached and tested. And I was worried because with all this information, what I have in my papers, I thought, I don't think I'm going to finish in 7 minutes. I need like 45 minutes. And I pray and I will offer in sacrifices to the Lord. And the time comes when they call, said, okay, Elias Cabello, come here and start preaching. And I can tell you this was a miracle. I don't know how, but this is God's purpose. I just preached for 4 minutes. I cannot promise that today. I will try. But that day, after the sermon and after the worship and everything, my teacher tells me, I almost give you a C. Because you don't even pass 5 minutes. And something the Spirit bring in my heart, something spiritual, and I tell him, I just express what the Spirit give me in my heart. You know, it was not 5, 7, 10 minutes. But I remember that as this morning because I have a few pages. And we shall pray. Amen. We should pray, and God can make miracles this morning. And, well, I thought this is going to relax me a little bit, but it's not working yet. Should I keep talking about different things? But I like to read the Bible, and after read this passage, I like to pray. And I promise this is going to be the only thing I will do in Spanish, my praying. And I like to read this passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 6. And if you have your Bible, or if you have your digital Bible, you can open it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 6. And I will invite you to stand up. And I like when Pastor Joe says, and when other ministers says, you follow the reading, okay, in your Bible. Don't pay attention in mine pronunciation, because this is a hard passage. This word says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 6. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, and being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed on the field, be whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let's pray. Señor mi Dios y Padre, esta mañana te adoramos, te bendecimos y buscamos, Señor, tu presencia. Buscamos, Señor, estos momentos de refrigerio que a través de la adoración, a través de tu palabra, Señor, podemos recibir. Señor, esta mañana yo quiero pedirte, mi Dios, que tú guíes este pensamiento, que guíes mis labios, Señor, para hablar la palabra correcta. Y, Señor, y nos guíes como iglesia a poder guardarla y cumplirla, Señor, al pie de la letra. Queremos, Señor, Dios eterno, aprender y estar dispuestos a obedecer de acuerdo a tu propósito. Padre, yo oro por todo esto y te pido en el nombre de Jesús, Señor, que toques nuestras vidas y toques las vidas de aquellos que estén en necesidad, en momentos difíciles, en momentos de angustia. Padre, yo los pongo en tus manos y te doy gracias en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén. You may be seated. Well, this chapter is very interesting. Has a resume of all the chapters before. And if you know, some of those chapters are so strong and powerful, give it a lot of recommendation. And the author speaks to the believers. And those believers who were discovering new values of their spiritual practices, values as worship, faith, discipline, safe in Christ. And at this moment, in this passage, the author is inviting them to recommend it. One of those different versions said at the top, this is the Christian exhortation to practice these things, to be involved in this kind of life. And I find out a couple of things when I was reading this passage. And one of those is the author used few times the verb to be. And for me, that gives me attention, calls my attention, why the author is using this word to give a recommendation or exhortations to the believers. And this is what I find out. The first verse, the author talks about the love, the fellowship. Keep looking for it. Work on it as Christians. Verse 2, in the New Living Translations, use the word hospitality. And I like that part when this says, and enjoy the results of that. What could be the joy? Probably some of you are having in your house angels. It's a blessing. And verse 3, he remembers, or he makes this, remember the prisoners are as if you chain with them, and the mistreat as you are in the body. Until this point, the author is calling them to experience them something in their lives, to be there, to practice this. We cannot be friendly and love it if we are not together. I can send you a text. I love you, brother. And how you feel? But it feels okay if my wife sends me that text. I love you. And that brings my mind, everything's okay. Right? But as a brothers, as a church, it would send a text, well, sounds good, sounds polite, but the love and friendly and practicing these things is to be there. That's right. If you're going to entertain somebody in your house with hospitality, you have to be there. You have to be there to say, welcome to my house. Enjoy our time together. We need to be there. And then the verse 3, when he said, remember the prisoners as you are with them. If that means be there? Probably not. But feel that, or having that sense, how these people feel. And when he said, and they are mistreated as you feel in your body, that calls my attention to understand this exhortation, this recommendations. Live in this way. Practice these things. Because this is great. And then the verse 4. The verse 4. Be faithful. Marriage required this. We cannot be faithful in 2 miles of distance. We need to be faithful every day. And then he in verse 5. Your conversation be without covetousness. I hope I said that right. But your conversation has to be, you're making a commitment in that point. And then the word says, and we should live with this conviction. Living with our convictions or faith is to practice every time, be committed to this kind of life. Because the word says, I will never leave thee, not forsake thee, because he is with us. And then verse 6 says, I almost say 6 in Spanish, says, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Amen. The author, for me, and this is what I share, affirms this thought. I forgot the word, sorry. Live life with meaning of commitment. Living with a sense of commitment. Is that what he mentioned in these verses? And I, normally, it's hard to me to get a title of the sermon. And I thought this could be work and help you to understand me. Life that makes sense. And I have to explain to you a couple things in, from my background, from my the way how I learn things. And I'm still working on this. I'm trying to understand why between English and Spanish, many times you have to switch the words. I don't understand why. I really like to meet the person who decide that. Because I have a lot of issues to doing this. And I never forget my English teacher when he tell us, the first thing you need to know and understand to learn and practice English is stop thinking in Spanish. And I said, that's pretty hard. It's like I tell you, stop thinking in English. No, but definitely, that is part of my always challenge to understand the way how I need to express my thoughts. And this was my decision to set this title, Life That Makes Sense. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it was hard for me. And then I find out easier way thinking and reading and talking with a lot of friends. Many of those are my kids who most of the time they are correcting me and my pronunciation. And I said, I'm waiting for that day when I can correct you in Spanish. The purpose of life in Christ, that helps me a lot to be more connected. In the last few months, we have been challenged to make changes in our lives in many ways, with our friends, with family, at work, at school. And for many people, all those changes seem like something tragic, something bad, and something out of control with all this COVID. And I'm pretty sure all of us, we're making changes in our lives in different ways. And this is the real situation around the world. And the people is looking for answers, options, and hope, even a new wave or the best way to live and practice and enjoy the friends, enjoy the family. And many people call this is not a normal. We want to we want to be back in the in our normal way, how we were living a year ago. And I don't know if that was normal or not. But many people are still looking for something back to the normal. But probably this isn't going to happen. Us as a Christian, if we're seeing life only as a series of events that happen without meaning, because many of those things don't make sense for us, it's very possible that we will be totally frustrated, and at some point we could be lose hope. And we not should live like that, because we are Christians, we are believers, we are the ones who the author says you learn new things of worship, you learn new things on faith, you learn new things and safe in Christ. That's the Hebrews talks about all those things. And this chapter says you should start living in this way with love and friendship. You should start seeing the people in need as you are in need. That's pretty hard. It's like if I try to convince you, think like I'm thinking right now. It's hard. It's difficult. But how this is possible? How this the Lord wants us to feel it, feel the mistreated people and feel with them how they feel. Well, it's possible in Christ. It's possible. Because He wants to help us to understand the meaning of life, to see in our lives as a Christian life, our lives surrendered in Him, seeing our everyday in I should say this in Spanish, probably you're going to catch it. Viviendo cada día en Cristo. You see that? Praise the Lord. I was looking for a translator, but nobody wants to help me. I have a good friends, and some of them in my family. They, as soon as I say something, they give the answer right away. And I asked him, why don't you come and help me? Oh, I cannot do that. I'm sure you can. Well, God bless them. Thank you, sister. I came across this anonymous quote online, and I like to read it for you. As you realize, when I was young, I wanted to change the world. I discovered that it was difficult to change the world. Therefore, I tried to change my country. When I realized I could not change my country, I began to concentrate it in my village. I could not change my village. And since I was now an adult, I tried to change my family. And now that I'm old, I understand that the only one I can change is myself. Suddenly, I realized that if a long time ago I had changed myself, this will have had an impact on my family. My family and I will then have had an impact in our village. That impact could have changed our country. And in that way, I will have been able to change the world. And this is what the author in Hebrews talks to believers. He wants us to help us to understand and see our lives with a meaning, with a purpose in Christ. Not like a, sorry, I take that back. But we should not see life like that, because our faith in Jesus Christ helps us to understand life as God's purpose. And if we can see God's purpose in our daily basic life, we find out, we will realize He's still in control, living our lives in Christ. Because in Christ, we should see our life with purpose. I heard that probably a few years ago. I heard this, and then last Sunday, I heard Pastor Rudy mention the same thing. And I talked with him on Monday, and I was kind of jealous. God is interested in your future and not in your past. I thought I was going to be the first one this year to say it. Well, he did last Sunday. It was the last year. In all times, life has always had complicated situations, and God always helps us to see his purpose. For those that love him and live according to his promises, everything helps them for good. This note, J.B. Phillips says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And we believe that. God isn't that. Soon as we understand, we should live our lives in Christ and start seeing those things different. One of the things that really impact my life, my thoughts, my perception is when the verse 2 or 3 says, remember the prisoners. And then I start thinking, how many people is living under those situations, prisons of sin, prisons of sickness, prisons of fear, many situations, and feel the need. And at some point, be committed to show them your life in Christ. Jesus shows to his disciples when they were facing difficulties to understand the surrounding situation. When Jesus was walking and talking with them, they were seeing difficulties and problems and many hard things. And Jesus were there to help them to understand what was happening and guide them to see the things, how he was seeing those things. And one of those times, in those difficult times, Jesus encouraged them to see life as a challenge. It's a challenge. And he mentioned in this word, John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is what I found in this verse when Jesus declares this. The world is going to give you trouble. The world is going to give you instability. The world is going to give you almost nothing. I got on my cell phone the weather application, and I always like to see the weather in my country, in Mexico City. And every time when I check in, I say, man, that's great. Like right now, I don't know, at 65, 70 degrees will be good. But then right at the bottom says the level and quality of air is not appropriate. It's a lot of pollution. At some point, I remember, long time ago, they tried to give it every Mexican people, most of them are the ones who live in the Mexico City, as I think it was the 10 or 11 marble of the world. Because we will survive in the middle of that a huge pollution. And when they start talking about that, I feel like, man, I'm going to be one of those great things in the world. They're going to see me like a special person because I can survive with these high levels of pollution. I can remember how many particles of oxygen is in, I don't know the measurements, but we, the people in Mexico City, most of them, they're breathing smoke and a lot of minerals and a lot of bad stuff. But we survive. I'm here. I'm sorry, I remember those days when I went to the school and they start telling us, no break. The best part of the school, no break. You're going to stay in the classroom because the pollution is so bad. It's going to affect you. And few years later, they start telling us, you cannot be outside when it's raining because this is a bad rain for your hair, for your head, because it has some chemicals on it. And I didn't pay attention and look at that. The world is affecting us. There's troubles everywhere. And Jesus tell them, I'm with you. I'll be here. I will help you. The world's going to give you trouble. I want to give you peace. This is the first thing what Jesus told them and challenged them. see the life as a challenge. There's trouble everywhere. I tried to realize at some point when we moved from Mexico City to California, why for many days I have a headache. And I cannot find out what was. And then I remember in the parking lot in church, a car was kind of missing the engine and smoking. And then I passed through that. Oh, man, I see the life. That brings me back on life. My lungs were looking for some smoke. But thanks God, His grace are cleaning me. And I can tell you this, I love and I miss my family in Mexico City, but every time when I have the chance to visit them, I cannot stand in there for more than 2 days. That set me back in like a slow motion. Like, well, there's problems in the world, but Jesus says, I will give you peace. The world is not just mean the circle of the earth. It's the system. It's all those things who affect us. The economy, politics, leaders, places. And Jesus says, this is what you're going to get in war, but I will give you peace. If you were seeing life as a challenge every day. In a difficult times, Jesus encouraged them to see a life in abundance. And he mentioned this. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full in abundance. This is what Jesus said. And this is the situation. Jesus was talking about him as the shepherd. And all the difficulties, what they'd seen. And then Jesus came in that verse and said, hey, there's a thief in the world. And he's going to steal you the peace. He's going to steal you your comfort. He's going to steal you a lot of things. But I'm here to give you life and life in abundance. Jesus would challenge them to see a life as a life in abundance. But until this point, the first and second point, he was involved in that. I'm here to give you life. I'm here to give you peace. And praise the Lord, I'm going to finish. In a difficult time, Jesus encouraged them to see a life as the identity. And there's a few verses in the Bible I like just to mention it. But these are writing that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This was one of those declarations. 1 John chapter 5, verse 31. If not, I will check that again. 1 John 5:12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then I found that this verse in the Bible to help us to understand our identity in Christ and see the life as a challenge and see the life as a life in abundance and see our lives as an identity in Christ. For God so loved the world that He gives His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I find that this other verse this morning. Yet to all who died receive Him. To those who believe in His name, He gives the right to become children of God. Identity. For all those who have Jesus Christ in their lives, for all those who believe in Him, for all those who can receive Him, we have the right, the identity to say, I'm a child of Christ. I'm a child of God. I was practicing this morning. Pastor Joe, I found him in the office. And I confess him, I come to change my sermon. I come to fix a couple things. And one of those was I tried practicing John 3:16, and then I tried to skip my mind in Spanish. But you know what? It's the same sense, the same meaning. God loves us and He gave us His Son to give us life as identity. We live in Christ. And the Apostle Paul declares in this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And anything what I'm living, I live in the faith of Jesus Christ, my Savior. This is our identity. The life that Jesus calls us to have can be a difficult one. It calls us to make sacrifices and work on it. And like the author says, He's giving us recommendation, exhortation to live in this way. Be in a committed way to live. Not just for us, because we have to learn to live in Christ. Every situation. If there's problems, if there's some needs, how can I handle that in Jesus Christ? How can I see this through Jesus Christ? This is the abundant life what He said is going to give us. The only thing when I didn't write it is the end. And I find out the best way to end it is praying. And I praise the Lord because AFC, we are seeing a challenge for tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month. But you know what? He's with us. Because we are here seeing the need of the people, seeing the difficulties of our community. And we start touching them. We start feeling them. At some point, we start understanding what's going on. They need Jesus Christ. But they need to break that wall in front of them. And you know what's the best ingredient? Love. Be lovely. Shows God's love. We have that challenge. And the best way to conquer is in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Let me pray in Spanish, okay? That's okay? Close your eyes. Padre, en el nombre de Jesús.